Okay, this is our Tarot forecast of the year 2012. The question is, what will be the major lessons and opportunities? What will be the major lessons and opportunities the spiritual aspirant will encounter during 2012? And I shuffled the cards and reshuffled and shuffled again, and then laid out the spread, and you can see it on your screen if you're doing this live by webinar. The starting point is the Wheel of Fortune upside down. That's the 10th card in the Major Arcana. The counterpoint is Strength, right side up. That's the 8th card in the Major Arcana. The challenge is the Chariot upside down. That's the 7th card in the Major Arcana. The Purpose is the 3 of Pentacles upside down. That's the 3rd card in the Pentacles. The Endowment is the Page of Cups upside down. The Destiny is the 5 of Cups right side up. And then we come to the Pillar of Revelation. We have the Hierophant upside down. The King of Rods. The Hierophant is number 5 in the Major Arcana. The next card is the Unseen Forces. That's the King of Rods right side up. The Spiritual Ideal is the Hanged Man upside down. That's the 12th card in the Major Arcana. And the Fulfillment is the 5 of Pentacles right side up. So we have 5 major cards, which hasn't been seen very often since last year when we did this, and we also had 5 major cards. The 5 majors are the Wheel of Fortune, Strength, the Chariot, the Hierophant, and the Hanged Man. We have 0 swords, so everything's happening down here on planet Earth. Rods, we have 1, the King of Rods and the Unseen Forces. We have 2 cups, the Endowment of Destiny, Page of Cups and the 5 of Cups. We have 2 pentacles, the pentacles being the 3 of Pentacles and the 5 of Pentacles. Now, there's some interesting things before we, some more business to attend to here. Does anybody remember what the starting point was last year? No fair peeking. Yes, it is. It's in fact this year's endowment card, the Page of Cups. So I hope you all did what you were supposed to do last year and learn about becoming humanitarian and serving humanity and blah, 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 so you'd be ready for this year. And we'll talk about that a little bit more. There's one other card that's repeated from last year, and it's in exactly the same position. So, which tends to indicate that the Purpose, which is the card, the 3 of Pentacles, is still the same purpose. Building a proper expression for spirit to appear on Earth, to manifest on Earth. Purpose doesn't change much from year to year, and this is an indication of that. So we have some other interesting things to observe. We have 3 fives. The Hierophant is a 5, the real question. The 5 of Cups, the Destiny, is a 5. And the Culmination is a 5. So you add them all up, and we have a 15, and that is something entirely different. But it indicates that we're halfway to wherever we're going. Between 0 and, or 1 and 9, we're halfway there. And as a result, we have, we're in kind of in a state of equilibrium here, or should be. The problem is we're not. But if we want to harness this opportunity at the midpoint effectively, we should be striving to create a point of equilibrium, which, of course, is what the Wheel of Fortune, our starting point, suggests. So there's a tendency, right off the bat, we'll talk about this a little bit more in a moment, but there's a tendency to bring everything into equilibrium. There's only one slight problem with that. If you're in a situation where everything's out of equilibrium, it's painful to have it brought back into equilibrium. But that's the challenge. That's the purpose of working here. That's what those three fives here. And it's noteworthy that it's the destiny, the real question, and the culmination of the fives. And then we also have a couple of threes, the Three of Pentacles and the Hanged Man, which is 12, and that equals a three. And so those link us in terms of pursuing intelligent activity. Having said this, all this preface here, I want to start not with the beginning, but with the Five of Cups, our destiny. The Five of Cups, and then we'll come back to it and talk some more when we get here. But the Five of Cups is an image of a fellow. We only see the backside. And there's a lot of conflict in his robe. There's chevron designs at the bottom of his robe. And he's got five cups, and three of them lay spilled on the ground. And one presumes that he has wasted those or lost those. They might be friends that have died, and he's grieving for it. It may be simply the image or the thought that he will someday die, and he's grieving in advance for that. There are two cups behind him, which are actually at the vortex of the chevron, the one chevron. There's reeds blowing in the, marshy reeds blowing in the distance, and he's uncertain of the way forward. There are birds flying out in the sky. This card sums up the theme of this year, and that is, now, I don't want anybody to panic. Just take a deep breath. Breathe in, say om in the back of your mind here. Gentleness. The theme of this year is foreboding. Now, that doesn't mean that anything nasty is going to happen. It just means that there's a tendency among humanity to be afraid of what might happen. What actually would have caused, what has actually produced this tremendous foreboding and fear is last year. Last year we had the Tower crisis. We had, we didn't have the Tower. That was something else. We had crisis. We had the death and all kinds of wonderful things like that. And so the things that we would be afraid of actually occurred during the year, the tsunami in Japan, and the oil spill, and all this sort of stuff. People became unglued. The crises are past us. Well, I hope so. But the fear lingers on. And so we have to, the major assignment for the spiritual aspirant, the individual, the group, the nation, whatever, the spiritual assignment for 2012 is to learn to take crisis and fears and catastrophe or whatever in stride. Let me say a couple more words here. 99% of what we fear never comes to pass. So the problem is not an actual crisis looming ahead of us. The problem is what we're afraid might happen. We lack trust in the higher self. We lack trust in providence. We lack trust in divine healing. And so we create fear. Fear is an illusion. It doesn't exist at the level of the higher self. It exists only in our emotions. Even if we've conquered fear on our own, we are going to be susceptible to the fear of mass consciousness. And in fact, as you know, if you've been reading the MassCon Recon reports that I put out, there will be another one tomorrow if you subscribe to them, fear has been running at a fever pitch. It's almost like humanity as a whole is suffering from the fear virus. And even healthy people who have conquered fear themselves are likely to be overwhelmed or swamped from time to time by fear. The theme of this year is we have nothing to fear but fear itself, and we need to conquer fear. We need to learn to trust in the higher self. So with that preamble, I just wanted to give you a foretaste here so that everything I say up until that point makes sense. We'll go back to the starting point, the Wheel of Fortune. The Wheel of Fortune is a card. It looks like an Egyptian or a Sphinx-like character or something. He's got a little goatee. And he embodies this wheel that is eight spoked. It represents two of the three crosses of the zodiac. And there's a snake on either side. It's erect. And down at the bottom, there's two of the signs, Leo and Capricorn, I guess, face to face. That's the conflict. These two forces are staring each other down and seem to be creating what would appear to be conflict. It's only conflict if we accept the premise that they're not able to reconcile their differences and be companions. And the snakes represent forces of ancient evil that, again, or ancient patterns that generate the issues that we're afraid of. But keep in mind that this is the inner pattern, the inner plan, and it has nothing to do with, it is not affected by our personal traditional habits and failings. There is no fear at the level of the zodiac. There is no fear at the level of the higher self or the divine. And the divine is very definitely stated here. If you notice the top of the card, there are these little lines here coming down on either side from the crown. There are these little lines which indicate divine presence, divine emanations. And so there is a larger plan. Everything that happens during 2012 will be a tiny part of a much larger plan. And that larger plan is for the good and the growth of humanity as a whole. Not for specific blessed individuals or nations or whatever, but for humanity as a whole. And so the first element we have to learn is that the first step towards conquering our fear is to trust in the divine plan. To trust in the fact that our higher self has the skills and capacities we need to master the fears of within ourselves and within mass consciousness. As you know, everybody individually internalizes fear, and if they walk into a supermarket and it's filled with fear, they don't come out and say, oh, the supermarket was filled with fear. They probably say, I don't know why I'm so fearful. Well, they're not fearful. They weren't fearful before they walked in. And they're only fearful when they walk out because they've walked through the aisle of fear. It's kind of like the valley of death, the aisle of fear. And as a result, they have picked this up, but they're thinking that it's their fear rather than the supermarket fear, or fear of supermarkets, market phobia. Well, we have lots of elements floating around mass consciousness right now. We're in the middle of a recession. We're Iran's about to get the nuclear bomb. Kim Jong-il is no longer Kim Jong-il. He's Kim Jong-dead. Ill once dead. And so now we have Kim Il-dong, or whatever his son's name is. All these things are things that humanity can be afraid of. And so there's plenty of things to imagine fears, to imagine the unknown. There's two major forces that bring fear into mass consciousness. One is the fear of death. We had that card last year in the Unseen Forces. And the other is the card of, or the other fear is the fear of abandonment. The fear of, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? Right when I need you, God, why are you not helping me? Which, of course, is absolutely absurd. The God is right there. You know, it's like God's knocking on your head saying, anybody home? I want to come in. And the personality is saying, my God, why are you not helping me? Well, open the door. That's the way we have to. So the Wheel of Fortune indicates there's this much larger plan in which we live and move and have our being. This plan is described by astrological calculations, the movements of the zodiac. It's described by all different kinds of inputs and outgoes. And yes, we will be facing some conflict. There's always forces in conflict. And yes, we will be dredging up the ancient past, the snakes coming up to bite us. But we must be the master. We must recognize that just as God masters all the zodiacal forces, we must master all the conflicts and opportunities and events in our life. That's our job, our duty. And of course, we can call upon the divine life to do that. Now, there's another aspect that I already mentioned briefly about the Wheel of Fortune. And that is that the Wheel of Fortune exists and operates in equilibrium. This wheel is not flying off randomly off the track, you see. It spins exceedingly fine. And always in perfect order. And the opposing forces that create conflict, that we define as conflict, are actually working to help each other develop their skills and create companionship, eventually. And so if we can learn to look at the opposing forces in our life and how to harness them, we can become masters of this. But the key word is equilibrium. There's nothing to fear if God's life is working in equilibrium. But that means that for everything you do to upset the apple cart, you have to undo the upset in order to restore equilibrium. You have to compensate for it. It's the law of cause and effect, the law of consequences, of compensation, exchange. And so this is a year in which virtually every aspect of your life will seek equilibrium. If you have sinned and erred and made all kinds of selfish decisions, you're going to have to restore balance in those areas. If, on the other hand, you've acted well and others have mistreated you, they're going to have to restore balance. I'm not guaranteeing you that they will. We miss the opportunities of each year left and right, and in the center. But the forces of this year will tend to pull us back into equilibrium. And if we are wise, we'll seek to take advantage of that. We'll try to approach each day with the idea of achieving equilibrium in what we're doing. And at the end of the day, we'll see where we've let things get out of equilibrium, and we'll try to restore that, or at least figure out how we can restore it. That's our starting point. Then we come to the counterpoint. The counterpoint is strength, the eighth card in the major arcana, and so only separated two less than the Wheel of Fortune. Strength is another one of those cards with the downward flow of divine force in the background, but this is the opposite. Instead of being a transcendent force or transcendent emanation like the Wheel of Fortune, this is an immanent. This is where we recognize that we have the strength to combat fear because we have a connection with the higher self. And the higher self has all the strength we need, unlimited resource of strength. And it it then translates it. In this card, the action is depicted, the higher self is depicted as a warrior or a soldier, armor-clad, with a sword, and then his faithful dog, Spot. Well, maybe a stripe. If you look at the dreadnoughts, it's probably a stripe instead of Spot.
It definitely doesn't look like a Spot.
His faithful dog, Stripe, with all those triangular earrings down there. That's the personality. Personality likes to dress up and pretend that it's something other than what it is. But in other words, the image of the dog implies that it's his faithful servant who will love him without hesitation and rejoice in seeing him whenever he comes by to visit, and will do exactly what the higher self requires. That's the ideal relationship between the higher self and the personality. And you might think, well, that's all well and good for the higher self, but what does the personality get out of it? Well, let me tell you, the real benefactor here is the personality. The personality, through this ideal alignment with the higher self, is able to draw upon the absolute strength and confidence of the higher self. And our challenge here in 2012 is to be mindful of this present source of strength within us, and to learn to call upon it, not just think of it in the abstract, but use it when we feel that we're losing grip of a situation or something. We start to have fears, we call upon this strength, we download this strength immediately to stop that fear. Now, one of the things that I am happy to be able to report is that Dr. Lykman has completed his book, Psychic Self-Destruction, which is kind of a companion to Psychic Vandalism. And it should be ready, in a month and a half. This is a book that everybody's going to want to get, read, buy 1,000 copies, distribute them to everybody you know, because if they stop destroying themselves and they won't bother you so much, it is one of the great books ever written, and it literally will be the salvation of many of you, all of you, if you get it and even put it to work. And one of his chapters is on mindfulness. This is what this card is strength. We need to be mindful of the fact that we are strong enough to defeat any fear that comes along. First of all, we recognize it's not our fear. It's the free-floating fear in mass consciousness. But we're going to have to deal with it because we live in New York or Chicago or in London or where we live, and the place is filled with fear. Or Washington, D.C., or wherever, Atlanta, Georgia. Of course, I don't live in Atlanta, Georgia. I live north of Atlanta, Georgia. But the fear comes in even here. And so we have to be ready to cope with it. This is one of the great ways we learn to express the mind force. Not to change water into wine. Come on. It's to give us the strength to defeat fear. Now, you know, water into wine, hey, if that appeals to you, go out to California and start a winery. I mean, it's done all the time. It's no big deal. You can charge $8, $10 a bottle. If you got good stuff, you can charge $20 a bottle. But to be able to defeat fear in its track, now that sets you above almost everybody else. And that's what 2012 is going to be for you and for everybody else. All right, I'm going to pause for just a second and see if anybody has any questions. Anybody? I don't need to do any unmuting because you're all unmuted. Any questions so far? We have the point, counterpoint so far. Yeah. Hello?
So mindfulness would be another key word.
Mindfulness will be a tremendously key word. It's interesting because that's the key word we'll get to over here with Unseen Forces, the King of Rods. It epitomizes mindfulness. But I mentioned it with strength because that's one of the ways to do it. Sure. Anything else? Well, let's move forward then. And our third card is the Chariot. This is the creative challenge. And the Chariot is the third card in a row that has this divine energy at the top, these little lines right at the top. You can see it there. But they're horizontal. It's kind of like a flat line on a oscilloscope. Meaning this guy's brain dead. I'm joking. It just means that, again, this is a statement of stasis or equilibrium. Everything's in balance in the Chariot. There's the happy face. There's the unhappy face. There's the Chariot is the two sides are equal. There's two wheels. There's two of everything. And the Chariot means that we're at a cusp between cycles. We've been stuck in a recessionary cycle in the economy. Perhaps we've been stuck in certain personal cycles. We need to find ways to break up that stasis without losing our equilibrium and continue to grow. And this involves conquering duality, the happy face and the unhappy face. These are ways in which we let our emotions control us, to say this is pleasant, this is unpleasant. But our true motivation comes from the higher self, strength. So in 2012, we may have the illusion of being stalled, burned out, stagnant, unable to move forward, nothing happening. And that's an illusion. It's an illusion of the first order. It's our perception of what's happening rather than going up and checking out the plans and seeing all the wonderful things that are happening, even though we're in this stage of a stasis. The key here is it's up to us to move forward. It's up to us to find the way to break the logjam. And, of course, if we're in tune with the strength of the higher self, that's not difficult at all. We simply ask the higher self to show us our new challenge, and it will. But if we are trying to be protective, if we try to protect what we have and hold on against losses, we will fall farther back. There's a lot of conflict in this. The Chariot itself, those red lines coming down in a V, that's a classic symbol of conflict. But notice how then it's almost like there's an engine above that with that semicircles of white and black creating the incandescent energy of the white part right above it. And this is what motivates us. This is what impels us forward, is the inner plan and our capacity to confront the dualities of life, the opposing forces, and see which one needs to be emphasized at this moment to get things moving forward again. This applies individually, socially, politically, nationally, internationally. We, at every stage of this, we have reached impasses. And so, I think we need to adopt the key phrase for 2012. This is a mantra. Cut them off at the impasse. For those of you who like Westerners, you know, it's always, we'll cut them off at the pass. Well, here you want to cut them off at the impasse. And and make sure that we move forward and break up the logjam of the impound. That's our challenge. Are we willing to take genuine action to propel things forward, or are we just reactive? Some people are stuck in a slough of despondency because no opportunities have opened up for them. They've been unemployed for, 98 months, and their unemployment's run out and all this sort of stuff. And you got to ask, what are they doing? There's a whole category of millions of people in this country who aren't counted as unemployment. They've just given up looking for work. They are still unemployed. They're just not counted because they've given up. Since I don't know when that became a factor, but there you have it. Well, that's a very passive attitude. And then they get to start feeling like a victim. Well, I should have a job. I deserve a job. But they're not doing anything. They're not going out. And there's people around here in the hills who come out, and we have a little rotary just outside of Big Canoe. And there'll be somebody that'll set up their truck there with firewood. Truckload of firewood, $80. Well, this guy's unemployed. He's trying to do something about it. He went out and cut some firewood on his property, waited a year, we hope, so it would mature, cut it up into little pieces, and now he's trying to sell it for $80. I applaud that kind of initiative. He's doing something about it. He doesn't accept victimization. But the chariot implies that some people wait for life to give them their opportunities. It ain't going to happen that way. We got to manufacture our own opportunities. We have to have the contact with the higher self, and then we can begin to recognize all the opportunities that we've been missing. Some of you may remember the parable I sometimes tell in the basic course of false goals. The guy who wanted to hitchhike, but he had it in his mind that he was going to be picked up by somebody driving a red Ferrari. And he put out his thumb on the road, and somebody in a white Cadillac stopped by and said, "You want to lift?" And the guy said, no, that's all right. I'm waiting. And so somebody with a Mercedes stopped and offered him a ride. He said, no, and passed him by. And at the end of the day, he finally said, "I don't know what, I've always believed in Providence and God, but I'm starting to disbelieve because that red Ferrari never came." Well, that's self-defeating. He limited himself in ways that made it impossible to see the real opportunities that came. That can happen during 2012, but it won't happen if we are open to interpret the creative response of the higher self. Okay, the next card, the challenge, or the purpose, is the Three of Pentacles. I'm going to have to apply mute here because somebody's got an echo. Okay, the Three of Pentacles is a cathedral with three pillars, obviously, the three pillars of the Tree of Life. And there's the Trinity at the top, three pentacles, forming the Father, the Son, the Holy Mother. And there's these three pillars, and one fellow, a craftsman, we assume he's a craftsman, he could just be a writing graffiti on the pillars. But we assume he's a craftsman, chiseling on the left-hand pillar. And this is the purpose. And the general purpose is working to build the plan on Earth, to precipitate the plan, to build the cathedral that adequately expresses divine life to everybody else. And humanity is involved in that work. But this fellow is over on the left side. Doesn't mean that He's on the left-hand path. It just means that he's off in the wings. He's got his ass in the apps. He's not in the center. He should be in the center. Why? We need to work from the core of what we're doing. Not some side issue, not some ideology or whatever that we believe in. Need to work from the central core of truth, the central core of divine plan. And we need to be guided by that in everything we do. If we embrace a certain ideology, whether it's political or religious or social or anything else, we limit ourselves to a tiny, tiny spectrum of human life. And we shut out everything else. We pretend it doesn't exist, and if it does, it's evil. So he's undoubtedly doing good work, but he's off in the wings. He's not really in harmony with the central core. And so his life is going to be out of equilibrium and needs to be brought back in to the center. Okay, then we come to the endowment, the page of cups, which was our starting point last year. This is very important. This is very profound. The page of cups, the page of cups is a young person wearing a boisterous hat, brown, the feathers are going every which way. Looks like he just came out of just got a permanent at the salon. And maybe it's a she. And this cap is connected with a long red scarf coming down. Two flowers behind and a fish coming out of the cup in front. Fish coming out of the cup in front means that you can be distracted by any folly that comes along. Anything that seems to stroke you emotionally, you can be distracted by. But it's very important not to be distracted. Now, the point is that this person is expressing divine life as best they can. There's a downward flow from the cap, but is constantly seduced by the emotions and is ignoring the real impelling force of the flowers. Those two perfect roses or tulips or whatever they are, they look like perfect flowers about to bloom forth, and they're behind them. He's ignoring them. He's paying attention to a fish instead. And so we frequently lose control of our will to serve, our will to help. Helpfulness is a good example of this. Helpfulness derives from the higher self, from the mind and the spirit behind it. But as it comes down, in so many people, it becomes trivialized, travesty. And it becomes, the classic example of this, and I don't mean to sound judgmental here, but I will be, because judgment is a virtue of the mind. We heard this after Thanksgiving. Down here, of course, the late Hosea Williams started a feed everybody for Thanksgiving or Christmas, and they fed 15,000 people Christmas dinner, all of which was wonderful, but they interviewed one of the people volunteering to help serve food. And said, "It just made me feel so wonderful." Well, I'm here to tell you that if you do something valuable for humanity in it, because it makes you feel so wonderful, you've just about neutralized all of the good that you've done, because you've been doing it for yourself, not for... If he or she had said, "You should see the smiles on the faces of people when we dish up the food," that I would give them an A+ for. But no, it just makes me feel so wonderful. Well, all right, I can think of lots of things that make people feel wonderful that don't qualify as legitimate service. The impulse to serve, the impulse to help may be accurate, but somewhere along the line, the compassion or the goodwill gets distorted, limited, travestied, mocked, parodied, and it comes out twisted, and it becomes that fish. And this is what we, this is what we've struggled with all this last year. As we've learned that our emotions can betray us as quickly as not. We might help somebody emotionally, but the likelihood is they'll backfire. They'll bounce back at us and trap us in some fishy situation. All right, so that's our endowment. An endowment of learning to recognize and overcome distractions. And any kind of false belief that we have will be exposed, probably already has been exposed. But the real key here is investment, the downward flow of energy from the mind into the physical level, which has to pass through the emotion. We are meant to invest. We are not meant to hide our talent under the rock. We're meant to express it, but we are responsible for expressing it with enlightenment, with wisdom. If you give somebody $100 and they run out and buy explosives and blow up the local gas station or supermarket or whatever, you have not given a gift worthy of humanity or worthy of the name of generosity. You've financed somebody's terror. So it's very important that we tie our generosity, our helpfulness, our service, and our will to do good to wisdom, to intelligence, to self-control. We're responsible for it. And this leads in exactly to the Five of Cups, which we've already talked about briefly, and that is that those cups on the ground are not losses. Those are partial efforts, or efforts partway completed, in investment of this energy pouring down that we saw in the Page of Cups. Now over in the Five of Cups, we see the cup has been spilled on the ground, but not wasted, because that can then fertilize the ground. It may involve seeds that will grow. This is the first stage of cultivating the wild territory of the physical plane. So we have to understand that there are larger patterns. Sometimes we don't understand the meaning of events in our life. I would say 99.99% of the time, we don't understand the larger patterns of meaning in our life. So we must start looking for it. Instead of seeing the wildness, the chaos, the disarray, the disharmony, the conflict, we need to start thinking, okay, if this is partial evil, what's the universal good? I'm quoting the essay on Man by Pope. Partial evil, universal good. If this is chaos, what's the order behind it? We have to start looking at that. That's a large step towards mindfulness, of beginning to see that this element, which seems to be tearing us apart, causing us disarray, this consolation, whatever, depression, is part of a larger pattern that if we just hang in there, we will become a much stronger, more effective person. Okay, I'm going to unmute here for a moment. And before we go on to the Pillar of Revelation, I want to... I'd unmute if I could. All right, I'll do this individually. Hang with me here for a second. I'm unmuting everybody one at a time. I have to figure this out. I don't know how they expect you to do this if there's 100,000 people on this. Oh, hi, Sid. I didn't see you come in. Okay, any comments or questions here before we move on. We've completed the cross of definition here. Before we go on to the pillar of revelation, any comments or questions?
The fish coming out of the cup?
Yes, the fish.
Could also...
Just a second. I'll get to you in a second.
Yeah. Could also represent, you know, the idea of you don't give somebody free fish, you teach them how to fish.
Right. Yes. And it also suggests that there's room in fast food for an operation called fish in a cup. Right, but no, your comment is much more valuable than mine. Okay, who had something? Somebody? Yeah. Go ahead. Well, in what sense? Let me... The cup, each cup represents our resources. It could be our physical energy, our emotional energy, our mental energy. It could be our creative energy. It could be relationships. It could be our capacity for grace, harmony, affection, nobility, whatever. But we have lost control of it because we allowed the fish to distract us, and we seem to have dropped them, and we've lost it. And we don't understand that in this process of doing this, we are actually enriching life on Earth. We are bringing some element, even if imperfectly, of our creative talent into play. Does that make sense?
Yes, it's very helpful.
Okay, good. Any other comments or questions? Rose?
Could a spilled cup also represent, maybe that's something we were attached to and it needed to be spilled?
There you go. That's a real good point. If you didn't hear that, Rose was saying, maybe it's something we were attached to and it needed to be spilled, and now we need to say, good, goodbye. Anything else? Okay, I'm going to... Absolutely, exactly. And we are here to bring cupfuls of divine life into our life, kind of like the symbol of Aquarius. Excuse me, the symbol of Aquarius that is the water carrier and brings the water in the jug and irrigates the plants. We're meant to irrigate life on Earth one chalice at a time. And we frequently use our emotions to do that. But then when they seem to go astray, or somebody that we've been close to dies, or somebody betrays us or whatever, we start to assign negative interpretations to that. And that may be very destructive to our own well-being. Because again, as was just suggested, there's a connection between what we do here on Earth and the larger plan. And we need to make that connection. Good. Okay. Yes.
I was thinking about that, and I love it because it's like such good things here. It was still cups, and how they don't get too warm about that. Like, put it on. But a while back, I was thinking that the also would be the triangle, working with triangles in terms of balance. You often think of balance.
Okay, yes, if you go back and notice the earrings decorations on the dog in strength, our number two card, are triangles. And in fact, if you look at the chevron, either in the chariot or in the five of cups, the conflict, it's very easy to draw a straight line to complete an equilateral triangle. And so you're absolutely right, of course, that the way to harness duality is by finding the apex in the spirit that is the true resource. That's another way of saying tapping the inner plan for that resource. Very good. Okay, Betty has a question here that she typed in. What about political trends as might be reflected in 2012 election cycles? Our favorite candidates, causes, and concerns that, I can't read that, that lose, are they the cups on the ground? Well, you can see that application. Obviously, in any kind of political referendum, there are going to be winners and losers. Just because, whether it's this year or 4 years ago or 8 years ago or 12 years ago or any other time, just because and especially this is very clear in the Republican primaries this year, because only one candidate is going to end up winning, and that means seven or eight are going to end up losing, but every one is contributing and articulating ideas that need to be in public discussion. We need to get out of the mindset of winners and losers. We need to start seeing all of these people as contributors, building a base upon which the eventual nominee can run. And that's equally true for Democrats. It's too bad that the Democrats aren't having a dialogue right now, because I don't think the average Democrat feels comfortable being represented only by people who are pursuing socialist kind of things. And yet, the average Democrat has no venue for discussion right now. The only venue for discussion out there is the Republican venue. So it's important to get good, solid ideas out there into the marketplace, into the airwaves, and let those ideas stand or fall on their own merit. Okay, I'm going to move along now. And go to the Pillar of Revelation. Now, the Pillar of Revelation is these last four cards, and it starts with the real question, which is represented by the Hierophant. And the Hierophant is a Chinese kind of thing. It looks like he's wearing a pagoda on his head. And he's got his arm outstretched in blessing. There's two keys here, skeleton keys, down at the base. And there's all this residue of conflict at the base of his robe, and he's got a rod of power there that he's working with. So the real question here is, what is the larger plan? This is very easy to interpret in the context of the Three of Pentacles. The plan carries over. What is the larger plan? The Hierophant is the keeper of the secrets, the keeper of inner information. So you go to the Hierophant to figure out, all right, what is the larger plan going on? And am I receiving the blessing of the higher self, or am I resisting the blessing of the higher self? Am I working with and cooperating with the intent of the higher self, or am I resisting it? Am I trying to avoid it at all costs? And that's the question that we have to ask in every case. If we continue to experience disaster after disaster after disaster, setback after setback after setback, we should make the assumption that something we're doing isn't meeting approval of the higher self. We're not in tune with the plan. So then the question becomes, how do we revise our actions, reform our our approach so that we do express the direction and guidance of the higher self. Going on then to the unseen forces, we have the King of Rods. The King of Rods is a stately fellow, obviously a king. He's wearing a bird on his hat, on his helmet really is a bird, with the third eye there representing intuition. He's carrying a big stick, the rod, and this is a symbol of mastery. It reminds me of the aphorism, the mind rules. And this is something that should be evident throughout. 2012 is an opportunity to work with the mind and practice mindfulness so that the mind rules and calls the shots, not letting the emotions drag you through suffering and hardship. The mind rules. We are mindful of our resources. We're mindful of our skills. We're mindful of our design as a human being. And instead of succumbing to fear, we express strength. We express courage. We express our resources of creativity and enthusiasm for life on Earth. I would be remiss if I talked about this and failed to remind you all that in just 10 days, I'm starting my class, my weeknight class on the higher mental skills, a 10-week class in learning to use the abstract skills that the King of Rods represents. If that's not an omen, I don't know, I wouldn't know one if I saw one. So I hope you're all signed up, and if not, get those registrations in. Another element of the King of Rods is it is important during this year to focus on achieving our goals. Don't create this enormous thought form of what's in your way, of the obstacles, of the impossibility of doing this. Focus on your goal. It is the ability to focus on what you're trying to achieve that immunizes you from fear more than anything else. It also allows you to harness opportunities and resources that you would never dream of possible. Focus on your goal, whatever it is. For some of you, that goal might be establishing Walden Grove. For others, it might be electing certain people in the election. For others, it might be cleaning up your own mental household. It varies from individual to individual, but these goals are your own. The process of selecting goals and focusing on them is the heart of expressing your individuality. But it's based on the plan of what the higher self wants you to do. If you have the goal of becoming the richest person on earth, and the higher self doesn't want you to become the richest person on earth, just the second richest, it will tend to overrule you, you see. So make sure that your goals are linked with your genuine resources and what you're meant to be expressing. We then come to the spiritual ideal, and that is the Hanged Man, number 12 in the Major Arcana. The Hanged Man is one of my favorite cards, and that is that he's hanging upside down, supported by the upper half of the tree, the cross. And obviously, that's the higher self. He's supported by divine life. He's just sort of merrily suspended there, upside down. Now keep in mind that there's a rich basis for this. Odin this was able to capture the runes as they fell from the tree of life by suspending himself upside down from one of the branches of the tree of life and reaching down and scooping up the runes as they fell. And that allowed humanity to develop words and concepts and so on. So this is a profound card that the spiritual ideal has to do with bringing heaven to earth, bringing that which is abstract down into the physical plane. And in order to do that, you have to be centered, focused in the higher self, in the soul, in God, in divine life, not in the physical plane, not in its ideology, not in its differences and its conflicts and so on. We have to align ourselves, first of all, with divine life, and then we must trust in it to support us and guide us. Now, according to DK, the two things that people fear the most, and we've been talking about fear all day long, first, the fear of dying. Second, the fear that the higher self isn't supporting us. In other words, doubt that if we do something, the higher self will bother to help us out. They're both illusions. In any situation, you can count on the fact that the higher self of the soul is ready and willing to support you. This card indicates that that support is solid and the only thing you can trust in. You can't trust in friends because they may betray you. Or they may die on you. Right when you need their help, there they go. It's not their fault. It's just a cycle of life. But you can't trust in money. You can't trust in name, because any of these things can be tarnished and soiled. What you can trust in is the support of the resources of divine life, the gifts of spirit. And if you have that level of trust, then you can hang upside down and look like a fool, and everybody thinks that you've lost it, but you know that you've got that inner connection that feeds you. And think of the recent New Tricks episode where Brian asked his wife to help him practice free fall. See? And so he leans backward and falls over just when she's turned to wipe
cream
off her hand so she can catch him. And of course she goes flat on the floor. You can't trust even your wife or your husband because we're part of the physical plane. You can't trust anything in the physical plane. They may be reliable, but not 100%. Whereas the higher self is universally reliable, infinitely reliable. No matter what the circumstance, it's there trying to support you. If you have developed the connection that allows us to think. And then we come to the culmination. We come to the final card, and that's the Five of Pentacles. And the Five of Pentacles is a man and a woman on their way to Mecca or some other pilgrimage. Maybe they're trekking their way to Canterbury, and they're going to visit Chaucer at some wayside inn, the tavern. And they're plodding along step by step in midwinter, freezing their rear ends off, and they're not too happy. They don't look too happy. They're just concentrating on taking the next step before they expire. But they're plodding towards their goal, which is physical. And they're totally oblivious to right above their heads, no more than an inch or two above their heads. There is this gap in consciousness that leads to the harmony, the glory, the beauty of the inner life. And it's a window into spirit. And it's it's almost as if this symbol represents angels and archangels, dominions of angels, singing praise and hallelujah as they make their way towards Canterbury. And they don't know it. They're totally oblivious to it. There are going to be times for the average person and the average aspirin during 2012 when it seems like we're just plodding our way to our destination. We've even forgotten what the name of where we're going is or why we're going. We're just marking time. We're treading water to go back to the chariot. And yet, what a difference it can make to tune into and be aware of the larger plan. The angels that are walking side by side with us that we're oblivious to. The spooks that are walking side by, they wanted me to say that. The spooks that are walking side by side with us and we're oblivious to it. The divine joy, the peace, the harmony, the wisdom, the splendor of the inner life. And we are down here complaining about our limited circumstances, how we've been trapped, how ungrateful the higher self is, blah, 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 yada, yada, yada. So we must, this is again a card of mindfulness. Yes, we cannot see the inner glory and beauty until we develop the eyes to see. But we need to cultivate its qualities. We need to enrich our life with the joy, the harmony, the beauty, the splendor, the nobility of divine life. There is absolutely no reason to leave us as empty shells. You may come across a difficult passage in your life in which you feel that everything of value has been ripped away from you. But what is stopping you from turning the faucet back on? Go back to the Page of Cups. Look how that energy is flowing down from the hat, the red energy, from the hat down to off the card. That's what we're meant to be doing. We're meant to be injecting joy and harmony and splendor and awe and wonder and a realization that God does great work every day, every moment of our life. I find it difficult to resist just bursting out from time to time at the top of my lungs and say, God does great work. And I would recommend that you do so too. Okay, that's it for my analysis. Any final comments and questions? Anybody?
Hello?
Yes. Go ahead.
Are there any specific
meanings to the
inverted cards
with you? Well, the inverted cards, there's six inverted cards, and there's four upright cards. The upright cards are the Page of Cups, the Chariot, the now that was upside down. I've eliminated all of the inverted cards by turning them right side up during the The inverted cards were the right side up cards are strength, the Five of Cups, the King of Rods, and the Five of Pentacles. They tend to indicate what we must draw upon in terms of being mindful. The larger plan, strength, what we're unable to see, and so on. The rest of it is what we can expect to, the inverted cards are what we can expect to occur in life as we go through 2012. You're welcome. Anybody else? Anybody? Well, I thank you all for participating. I hope this has been of help and value to you. We'll get the podcasts and the CDs out as quickly as we can. And thank you, and have a prosperous new year.
Thanks,
a confident and strong new year. You're welcome.